Let us stand for our responsive scripture reading. Our responsive scripture is found in your bulletins. And we will be reading responsively Psalm 24. And I will be reading the odd verses if you will read the even verses. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'll read the odd if you'll read the even verses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 24. Hallelujah. God is good. And the word of God reads, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein.
For he hath founded upon the seas, and established upon the rivers.
Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place?
He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully.
He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation.
Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Together, who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Hallelujah. This is the word of God. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Song say, I love you, Lord. How can you not love the Lord? When you look back yesterday and last week, how can you not say, I love you, Lord? You know, if you've been through a week like I have, all I can do is say, I love you, Lord. Because I know what he got me through and I know where he brought me from. All I had to do was stand still and trust in the Lord and just lift him up. Because at the new beginning of the week, I saw the salvation of the Lord and I didn't have to do a thing but say, I love you, Lord. I love him today. What about you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can you hear me okay? I want to thank the Lord for this day he has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. I give honor and glory to God, and I want to acknowledge our pastor, Michael and Robert Selleck, for their anniversary today of King of Kings Bible Church right here in Frisco. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, don't stand now, but if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to the book of Ephesians and kind of mark it, because we're going to get there in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Highlight it, put a paper clip up there on verse 10. Book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Amen?
Amen.
Do we all have Bibles?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's important. Now, if you would, stand with me if you're able. And we're going to open our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. The book of 2 Corinthians. We're going to chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Amen?
Amen.
And here begins the reading of God's holy word. And this is out of the King James translation. Amen?
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is the word of God.
To God be the glory.
You may be seated. This is titled, We Are at War. I don't know if you recognize it or not, but as believers in Jesus Christ who have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior in their life, we are at war.
Yes.
Talking about a spiritual warfare we are in.
Yes, yes.
And our main opponents in this warfare are the mind, the devil,
yes,
the lust of the flesh and the lust of the mind,
yes,
and the world. See, there's a battle going on, and there are a lot of forces at work seeking to take control of that mind.
Yes, yes.
And that's whether we like it or not, that's they're trying right. to take it over.
That's right.
Ephesians 6:12 put it this way. For we wrestle not, or Paul put it this way rather, through the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, the war is not waged against flesh and blood or against physical and material beings, but it's waged against spiritual forces. These spiritual forces are behind all this evil and this lustful behavior that is in this world today. See, these spiritual forces, what they do is attack the imaginations and our thoughts. What these forces do, they want to inject, if you will, an argument or a reasoning into the mind, and then they want to try to persuade you with your thoughts that are against God. See, these are spiritual forces that stand opposed to God. See, selfish and lustful thoughts, when you think about it, they're mental. They have no substance. It's not something tangible like a solid liquid or a gas. See, it's something that you cannot see. They are invisible. A mental substance. Paul teaches us that we are to cast down imaginations. Talking about thoughts of imaginations that are uncontrolled. Them wild thoughts. Them lustful thoughts. See, them immoral, unjust thoughts. And set all them thoughts that are against God, we gotta cast them down. So we have to fight to bring imaginations under control. We have to cast down everything that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. We're talking about false ideas about God. We're talking about false doctrine, false teaching, that self-righteousness, anything that sets itself up against God. We have to captivate every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's a thought. Every thought controlled and brought under the authority of Christ. Yeah, that ought to be our spiritual objective. Because, see, God created man for fellowship and communion with him. So we have to struggle and fight to control every thought and focus it upon God and his righteousness. We have to seek and desire to walk in an unbroken fellowship with God. How is this done? With the help of the Holy Spirit of God. We need that Holy Spirit because keep in mind, we are in a warfare against the devil.
All right.
You can see that every day if you read the newspaper, listen to the news. You got youth killing youth. You got families killing siblings. You got shoot 'em up, bang, bang at all these schools and so forth. You got folk going into the theater. And when they catch the alleged criminal and interview him, what's ironic to me, and I'm not casting judgment, this is what I heard, they say voices made me do it. See, these are just reminders of what you already know, that there's a spiritual warfare going on for the mind in your life every day. See, you know what's behind all that wickedness in the world. James 4:7 put it this way. James says that when we are under attack, we should submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, when temptations come, we have to focus our mind upon God and his word immediately. We got to turn away from that temptation, put it out of the mind, and think about God's word. Then resist the devil, and when you do this, a surprising thing happens. The devil will flee and the temptation will be gone. Keep in mind, you have to do two things simultaneously. You have to submit and surrender and resist the devil. See, we have to be sober. We have to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, what he does is walking about, seeking whom he may devour. See, we can cast all our cares on God, that's true, and he will provide. But we also have to be careful and watch out, because we are constantly on the attack, so we have to be alert for this enemy. All of the persecution that we face today come down to one source, the devil. He's the source of all this evil in this world. He's opposed to God, and he's also opposed to God's people. Yes. He's like a roaring lion looking for some victim to devour and destroy. Just like a lion, what they do, they attack sick, young, straggling animals. Yes. They choose those victims that are alone and not alert. Yes. Just like a lion, they prowl around quietly, yes, watching and waiting. Then they attack on a victim when they least expect it. Uh-huh. Peter warns us to be alert for Satan, especially when you are going through something, because he's walking up and down earth seeking whom he can attack, him and his nip demons. Yes, yes. They want to defeat you. Yes. See, when you feel alone, weak, helpless, cut off from other believers, you can become so focused on your own troubles that you don't even watch out for the danger. Yes. That's when you're vulnerable to Satan's attack. And they can come in a whole lot of ways. Yes. See, they can hit you at your weakest spot. Yes. I'm talking about fear, yes, temptation, when you're lonely and worried and depressed and being persecuted, yes, on the job in your cubicle. Yes. So we have to be alert for Satan's attack. And I know about cubicles. Yes. See, not only while we are at war with Satan, we war at not being a friend of the world.
Yes.
James put it this way in James 4:4. Listen to this strong admonishment. James says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?
Yes.
Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, yes, is the enemy of God." Yes. Talking about friendship with the world.
Yes.
So being an adulteress and an adulterer means that a person is guilty of spiritual adultery.
Yes.
Jesus holds his relationship with us in the highest regard. See, our relationship with him should be so close that it is described only by the closeness and intimacy like a marriage. In fact, our relationship with Christ can even be closer and more meaningful than a marriage. We are to know, believe, and understand Christ just as we are to know, believe, and understand our husbands and our wives.
Yes, yes, yes.
But with Christ, there's a far more bond and relationship than what we can have with each other on earth. See, Jesus Christ actually lives within our bodies,
yes,
in the person of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We are to live, move, have our being in Christ and he in us. The point is this: our bond with Christ is so close, and if we turn away from him to the world, it's like committing spiritual adultery. Spiritual adultery means that we turn away from God to the world, that we break our commitment to God and turn to other things, that we follow after the things of the world instead of following God. What things? Talking about money, popularity, recognition, possessions, boys and girls, talking about houses and power and honor, fame, talking about land and position, looking for things. Those things fade away just like a flower. See, the picture of spiritual adultery shows us just how meaningful God looks at our relationship with Christ. We must never forget that our Lord gave his life and died for us. He has done everything he can to save us, to create a relationship with us. And it cost him. It cost him the pain of the cross, the pain of bearing all the sins of the whole world, the pain of bearing the wrath of God against those sins, the pain of God the Father forsaking and rejecting him when he bore our sins. It was all for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So we must not crucify Christ anymore. We must not forsake him for the world. We must not commit spiritual adultery against him by turning to the world. Just like with that war we against with the flesh and the spirit. For the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. See, the desires of the flesh are opposed to those of the spirit. They draw us away in the opposite direction. And while the Spirit of God will lead us one way, our carnal nature will lead us another. And then you have to make that painful choice and go through that argument in your mind. But the best thing to do, I believe, or say, is to just say no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit. See, this spiritual warfare is what's caused by indecision.
Yeah.
That's when people try to choose things before God. It's like trying to serve two masters. Jesus said in the book of Luke, chapter 16, verse 13. This is a familiar passage of scripture in the book of Luke. Chapter 16, verses 13. Jesus said that no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. See, money often takes the place of God in people's lives. How a person handles money indicates how much control money has become in that person's life. See, Jesus explained that no one can serve two masters. And when you look at this spiritually, all people gonna serve someone or something. But Jesus spoke of two choices, God and money. See, people can choose to serve money or they can choose to serve God. But you can't do both because the two choices are opposed to each other. Just like having two mindsets. What you're going to have your mind set on. In Romans 8, 4, and 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We do not need to live in sin because now we can live controlled by the Holy Spirit. So we can think about things that please the Spirit. We must follow Christ every day in our lives, and our choices that we make, whether they're moral or immoral, has to be predicated on which mindset you have.
Right.
See, you should not allow that formal sinful nature to be in control, but if we're going to walk in the Spirit, let us be led by the Spirit.
Amen.
So what is our duty? Paul says in Romans 12 and 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind.
Yes.
See, we are not to conform, that is, or put on the appearance or the pattern ourselves after this world. Why?
Yes.
Because we are in this world, but see, we are not of this world. We are not to follow after the lust of the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it is of the world. But see, there's a change that has to take place within our inner being in order for us to escape this world. We must be transformed and changed inwardly. See, our real self, our very nature, our inner being, or our inner man must be changed. And this change must begin in the mind because that's where all the thoughts and actions begin. We are not to have the mind of this world. We are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Our mind has to be renewed. We're talking about made new, turned around, regenerated. When a person receives the Lord Jesus as his Lord, the person is spiritually born again, made into a new man, made into a new creature, given the mind of Christ, changed into the image of God. When a person receives Jesus Christ into his life, he receives the mind of Christ as well. See, that mind that used to be centered upon the world is now centered upon spiritual matters. See, now you can live a transformed life. You walk every day renewing your mind. You allow the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, to focus your mind on God and spiritual things. Philippians 4 and 8. Philippians 4 and 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Finally, what is our duty? Our duty is to allow the Spirit of God to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives.
Yes, yes.
The Spirit produces the fruit, so our job is to get in tune with the Spirit. You manifest the fruit of the Spirit, not because you work at it, but simply because the Holy Spirit now controls your life.
Yes.
The Spirit of the fruit separates you from this godless world. It reveals the power within you, and it helps you to become more Christ-like in your daily life. And while we are to remember the war, we need to also know that we already have the victory. We are overcomers in Christ. Because we can do all things how? Through Christ who strengthens us. How do we know we overcome us? For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world.
There you go.
And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God.
Yes.
So the person who is born of God overcomes the world. The victory that overcomes the world is our faith. The person who overcomes the world is the person who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God gives us victory over trials, temptations of life, over sin, over fear, and fills us with love, joy, and peace, victory over Satan and all those other spiritual forces. What's our purpose? It is to know that we are more than conquerors. See, our life is a battlefield. Immediately upon receiving Christ, you find yourself in a struggle or a war. We are engaged in a never-ending fight, a never-ending war. There's constant struggle against the lusts of the flesh and the temptations that are offered up to us by the world and the devil. We are in a spiritual warfare and fighting this spiritual battle with weapons of this world, things like your physical strength, worldly strategy, would be foolish. A spiritual battle requires spiritual weapons that can only come from God.
Yes.
I asked you earlier, you already there. You marked it off in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Are we there?
Yes.
Verse 10, Paul is talking. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Jump down to verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. What are we talking about? We must be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Your strength is not human, fleshly strength.
That's right.
It is not the strength of anything within this world. Your strength is found in the Lord in a living relationship with him. There is no other power that can give you the strength to overcome this world with all these trials and temptations that we face. Thank God for the resource called prayer. Because to God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Once you are strong within, then you're ready to be clothed with the armor of God. No amount of armor is worth the materials made of unless you have the heart to fight. We must be absolutely strong in the Lord before we can be clothed with the armor of God and begin to wage war against the enemies of this life. See, once a person has the presence and the power of God in his heart, that's when the war begins. That's when we take up them spiritual battles. But see, note this critical point. We must put on the whole armor of God. Don't leave nothing out. Because if we leave a piece of armor off, we expose ourselves to the enemy. And then that's when you take a chance of getting picked on and defeated. See, the charge is this. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Amen, family?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let us pray. My Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day you have made. My Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, Father God, which is an outstanding word, Father God. And we ask and pray that we just manifest itself into the soul of our spirit, O Lord God. We ask and pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that your word, Father God, just does not come back void, but accomplish that which you have sent it out to do in Jesus' name. And we just thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Now, Father God, there may be someone listening to this tape or someone here, Father God. If there are any needs today that has not given their life to Christ, we at the Church of King of Kings Bible Church, we stand in the gap with you now with prayer. And if that is you, you can raise your hand by signifying by raising your hand. Any needs in the house today? Praise the Lord. And if you would, if you're listening on this by the internet or been given a CD, repeat this prayer of repentance, salvation. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I need you. I know that my sinful life has destined me for hell. Lord Jesus, I believe that because you died for me, my sins are forgiven. If I repent of my sin, turn from my wicked ways. And make you the Lord of my life.
Lord Jesus,
I repent of all my sins. And I ask you to be the Lord of my life and my Savior.
Lord Jesus,
come into my heart and make me your child forever. I love you, Lord Jesus, and I will live the rest of my life for you. My brothers and sisters, if you prayed that prayer with sincerity and faith, you are now numbered among the saints of God and members of God's family. In Jesus' name, amen.